It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
After a battleground bus tour of Pennsylvania and Ohio, Hillary Clinton will campaign in red Nebraska with billionaire businessman Warren Buffett. He's the latest business leader to endorse Clinton after she campaigned with Mark Cuban in Pittsburgh and Michael Bloomberg's speech at the DNC.
Good luck, Hillary.
While Clinton is not likely to win the conservative Cornhusker state, it is possible to pick up an electoral vote if she's victorious in the congressional district that leans Democrat.
I feel very comfortable that the more people learn about what I've actually done, not the caricature.
Clinton is also dealing with the fallout from her exclusive interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, blaming her critics for making a caricature of her. She also placed blame for the recent hack of the Democratic National Committee.
We know that Russian intelligence services, which are part of the Russian government, which is under the firm control of Vladimir Putin, hacked into the DNC.
An assertion that the Director of National Intelligence wasn't willing to make last week.
I don't think we're quite ready yet to make a call on attribution. We all know there are just a few usual suspects out there.
Clinton scapegoated others for her email mess during her time as Secretary of State.
I relied on and had every reason to rely on the judgments of the professionals with whom I worked. And so in retrospect, maybe some people are saying, well, among those 300 people, they made the wrong call.
Yet when challenged by Wallace that FBI Director James Comey said she was not truthful with the American people, Clinton disagreed.
Director Comey said that my answers were truthful and what I've said is consistent with what I have told the American people. That there were decisions discussed and made to classify retroactively certain of the emails.
That assertion earned Clinton 4 Pinocchios from the Washington Post fact checker, which concluded, quote, he also said that there were some emails that were already classified that should not have been sent on an unclassified private server. That's the uncomfortable truth that Clinton has trouble admitting.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was Mike Emanuel on Fox News, of course, talking about Hillary Clinton and her most current lies. It's an amazing story. We haven't spent much time on that, and I'm probably not going to, because Fox News is covering that very fatefully, and you just need to know that in that interview with Chris Wallace, it was amazing the way she looked into his face and lied to him again and said that Director Comey didn't say I wasn't telling the truth, which is a complete lie, another lie. They had MSNBC, Joe Scarborough had her, I don't know if he's her campaign manager, someone close to her who's running something, probably her campaign. And they asked him directly about what she said to Chris Wallace, and they said she didn't tell the truth. Why doesn't she say she just made a mistake? Why does she keep hunkering down? And and it's an amazing exchange. If we had time, we'd play it, but again, I think Fox is doing a good job of covering, and I hope that you're watching that and aware of the continued lying of Mrs. Clinton. There is one side story that I think is really interesting. Former National Security Agency agent William Binney, he was formerly in the higher-ups. He was in charge of the databases there at the NSA, and he quit his job at the NSA and became a whistleblower just a few years ago. And this is what he said. He says that the NSA has all of Hillary Clinton's deleted emails. And he says that the FBI could access them if they so desired. He said they're not erased. They're not gone. The NSA has them. And he also said that other agencies have access to them as well. It's a pretty amazing claim. Another just little point on this. He says that Hillary, according to an article published by The Observer in March of this year, has a problem with NSA because she compromised gamma material. And gamma material is the most sensitive at the NSA. She lifted the material that was in her emails directly out of gamma reporting. And that is a direct compromise of the most sensitive material at the NSA. And so what Mr. Binney is saying is that he thinks you just heard the head of the National Security Agency saying that, you know, we really can't say the Russians did this. We don't know that for sure. That's what the press is reporting. And Mr. Binney is saying now that he thinks it might be people in the NSA actually leaking those because they're so angry with her for revealing top secret information. One of the other notable things, I wish I had the clip, but I don't. When she was going back and forth with Chris Wallace, she said something about, well, you know, I have like, what, there's 300 people, you know, who've been there for years at the State Department and handling all this stuff. And they just, you know, if some of those people made a mistake, then, I'm sure they didn't. I don't know what else she said. Something I surely did. They didn't mean it. But in other words, it's not me. It's not me. It's those 300 other people. It couldn't be Huma Abedin or Cheryl Mills, who we know now, you know, had firsthand access to all of that and were actually changing. And what they were doing is taking email from one server and sending it to her private server. So they were lifting it out of the top secret security that it had into her easily hackable homebrew system. It's really an amazing story. And amazing that she continues to lie so boldly about it. And so now I just spent more time on that than I even intended. I want to talk to you just for a second about a couple of things that are coming up in this presidential election. I'm sure that you've heard that Donald Trump is very upset that two of the three debates are on nights where the NFL is playing. Big games. One is a Packers game. And he's very upset about that. And he's claiming that it's rigged. Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what else is happening. A court, and this happened last week, and I just didn't get to talking about it. A federal appeals court has struck down North Carolina's voter identification law. Now, remember, Texas and North Carolina, I think Wisconsin, and I'm not sure what other state, passed these voter ID laws that just said you need to show a proper ID before you vote. And, of course, there's nothing racist about it. It applies to all races, and there's absolutely no evidence that people of, you know, other races, and, of course, they want to imply that it's a plot to stop black Americans from voting, which is just ridiculous because we are all Americans with the same access to getting ID and driver's licenses and whatever we need. But the court has struck this down, and Loretta Lynch weighed in on it. She described the law as one of the largest restrictions of the franchise in modern North Carolina history. This law was passed with discriminatory intent. It targeted African Americans with almost surgical precision, imposing stringent ID requirements, reducing same-day registration, and constraining out-of-precinct voting to places. Anyway, it goes on and on. You get the picture, right? So I think North Carolina's laws and Wisconsin's and I'm not sure about the others, but I believe all the voter laws, I believe Texas too, have been struck down. So just simple measures to stop illegal immigrants and other people that might happen along and vote several times just to rein in and assure that the people voting are American citizens is a racist propagation. It's not racist, but that's what Loretta Lynch says, and that's why the courts are striking it down. So just be prepared. Because this election is going to be razor thin. And they're laying the groundwork for all kinds of fraud, I guarantee you. So it's like the fix is in. And so when Donald Trump complains, he's right to complain. I'll give you another example. A Siri, if you use Siri on your smartphones, Siri is now completely censoring any search for the movie, the Dinesh D'Souza movie, Hillary's America. So if you try to find it somewhere and you ask Siri, it just refuses to cover it, refuses to give you information. Just saying, I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Also, Mrs. Clinton now, let's see, this is from Media Research Center, I believe. Yes. They're reporting that Hillary Clinton has an overwhelming support of the most influential celebrities in entertainment history. But the reason why they're pointing that out is because she has collected more than 645.9 million followers on Twitter. And how did that happen? I'm just wondering. Well, because Lady Gaga has 60 million followers, and she tweeted, "Vote for the first female president in history." So that gathered several million. Oprah Winfrey, with over 14 million Twitter followers, said, "Glass ceiling cracked wide open. Hillary Clinton dims in Philly." So the celebrities are using their Twitter accounts to raise money for Hillary Clinton and also to raise support. So it's the odds are stacking up. Yes, they are. You've got Donald Trump, you know, who doesn't have Republican support very strongly, not very strong conservative support. Not, you know, I think I heard that he's raised $38 million in this last cycle, which is very respectable. And from small donors, I think the average is like $66. And that's good. I mean, if I were running, I would rather have millions and millions of small donors than one major donor. Hillary Clinton, it's interesting, isn't it? She, you know, represents the small people, right? Because she's a Democrat. She's, you know, protecting the interests of the poor while all of these wealthy billionaires are meeting with her and working with her and campaigning for her. It, Warren Buffett, you know, Mark Cuban, it's just amazing. So that's kind of the story on that. I want us to go back, though, to the story that I want to concentrate on again today, and that is the story of Khazir Khan and his wife speaking at the Democratic convention last week, because it's caused such a dust-up and because I don't think it's being properly discussed. And I'll give you an example of that. As a matter of fact, I told you, you know, Fox has done a really good job of, they're talking about Hillary's email, and I'm glad. But this is the kind of coverage they're giving to Khazir Khan, Steve Hayes last night, who I love, Steve. And I generally believe that what he says is well thought out and trustworthy. But this is what he said about Khazir Khan last night. It's cut eight.
Look, I don't think there's any question that there's a double standard in the way that the media has treated Pat Smith on the one hand and the Khans on the other hand. Having said that, Donald Trump does this routinely. He jumps to conclusions that aren't warranted by the facts and evidence. So he alleges that Ghazala Khan was silent because she's Muslim. She wasn't silent because she's Muslim. She's silent because she's human, and she lost her son, and her husband was going to speak about it. It was a moving moment for her. Trump says he wants the good Muslims to speak out, and he says, why don't they say more? These are, by all accounts, the good Muslims. They sent their son to die in Iraq. He's spoken out, the father, Khazir Khan, has spoken out against Islamic radicalism. I can understand why Trump would be rankled by the speech that Mr. Khan gave last week, but to engage in a fight with them is not only tactically stupid, I just think it's wrong.
All right, so that interview...
All right, so that's that was Steve Hayes last night. And you know what? He's just so much of what he said reflects to me that he doesn't know what he's talking about. We are learning more and more about Khazir Khan, and I'm going to talk to you about that today, about what people are saying and reporting and researching, things that we know for sure about them. For one thing, and I'll just start with this, and then I'll go back and get in more detail. Khazir Khan has written about Sharia law and how marvelous it is. Khazir Khan, now we know this, Sharia law, you know what it is, right? It is the part of Islamic teaching that in fact makes women wear veils and be subservient to their husbands and able to be beaten and, you know, you can even kill your wife, your children, your daughters, if they don't comport with what you think they should comport with. Women have zero rights. And so, I don't know why. I don't doubt that his wife was grieving. And the fact that Donald Trump pointed out that she wore the veil and she was subservient is part of Sharia law. And there's nothing controversial about that. It is just the truth. Sharia law, though, of course, goes further. And it's the law that wants to practice jihad upon the West. And Mr. Khan is on record, and I'm going to talk to you about that, what he does for a living, and what we're learning about him and what the implications are of his appearing at the Democratic National Convention, how the media has covered it. It's very interesting, so please stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
Last year in October, 25 inches of rain fell in the state of South Carolina. 16,000 homes had flood damage, and now you and I get a chance to bless them as they wait for somebody to come and help rebuild their homes. 8 Days of Hope 12, Black River, South Carolina. We expect thousands of volunteers from around the country to come to that beautiful state. You can come for 3 days. You can come for all 8 days. We love families. We need roofers and electricians and plumbers and carpenters. And we need people like me that are less skilled, but just are excited to serve somebody in need. 8 Days of Hope 12, Black River, South Carolina. Hope to see you there.
The trip is October 8th through 15th. Volunteer for a minimum of 3 days at 8daysofhope.com. And if you'd like to help but are not able to go, financial donations are also needed. Sign up or give at 8daysofhope.com.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Politically correct tyranny is afoot at the University of Houston. A student government association leader was severely punished over a comment she made on Twitter. Forget Black Lives Matter, more like All Lives Matter. That's what SGA Vice President Rohini Sethi posted just after the assassination of 5 Dallas police officers. The tweet caused an uproar among her fellow collegiate lawmakers as well as the Black Student Union. Ms. Sethi was suspended from government activities for 50 days. She was also ordered to undergo mandatory diversity training, akin to a form of ideological conversion therapy. What happened to this young lady is despicable. She was publicly shamed because she believes every life has value. But such opinions are no longer welcome on public university campuses, where free speech has been strung up by a politically correct lynch mob. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We will keep getting stronger when Hillary Clinton becomes our president. In conclusion, I ask every patriot American, all Muslim immigrants, and all immigrants to not take this election lightly. This is a historic election, and I request to honor the sacrifice of my son. And on election day, take the time to get out and vote, and vote for the healer, vote for the strongest, most qualified candidate, Hillary Clinton, not the divider. God bless you. Thank you.
All right, that was the last part of Khazir Khan's speech last Thursday night, closing out the Democratic convention, and it was a powerful speech, and so people are scratching their heads, and now I think people are actually wondering who he is, and they're actually examining, who is this Khazir Khan? And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what people are finding out about his background, because I think it's important. And as I said yesterday, It is, I don't doubt the grief of those parents. And I don't, I don't know, you know, his son gave his life. He was killed by a suicide bomber. He was serving among the American troops. That is a separate thing. Honoring the death of his son and his service to the country is a separate thing from then saying, but why would the father use the death of his son in a political way at that convention? And what's behind this? And what was he trying to do? You know, Clara Lopez, who joined us yesterday, if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, you might want to listen, because Clara is a former CIA expert. And she talked to us about how when the Muslim Brotherhood speaks, they always speak with two messages. The one message is to Muslims who understand and are listening, and the other is to the West. So they speak in such a way, they always have two objectives in mind. So, but back to the West, I think this one's pretty blatant. Now, he's encouraging Muslims to vote, and he's talking about, you know, all, you know, how important that is. Well, we find out now, according to Paul Bedard of the Washington Examiner, that he is an immigration lawyer who specializes in highly controversial programs accused of letting immigrants buy their way into the U.S. His website notes that he works to help clients with the E2 and EB5 programs that let overseas investors buy into U.S. companies and provides green cards for family members. His website lists his ability to practice in New York, though it gives a Washington phone number. That was interesting. That's just a sidebar. They noted that he just set up his website just a few days before he spoke at the convention. And when people tried to call the number, it was a Washington number, and a person answered the phone and refused to identify themselves. So there's just a lot of fishy stuff around it. I don't know what that means exactly. Why would that be the case? I don't know. But this we do know. The E2 and EB5 are two of the most notoriously abused visa categories that essentially allow wealthy foreigners to buy their way into the U.S. To residency, possibly citizenship, and relatively modest investment. That from Jessica Vaughn, who's the policy director at the Center for Immigration Studies. The EB5 program has been caught up in multiple scandals, and critics are pressing Congress to kill it. So, just right off the bat, we could just say that certainly Mr. Cotton has a financial interest in making sure that Donald Trump does not get elected and does not do anything to restrict immigration, or especially Muslim immigration. So that's one thing. And then we go to Alex Pfeiffer, who writes for the Daily Caller. And by the way, we'll put Bedard's, we're going to post three different articles this morning, so stay with me. We're going to put Paul Bedard's article about Mr. Khan's immigration work. And we're going to put this one on, which is Khazir Khan has previously written extensively on Sharia law. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, please stay with me, because the Muslim Brotherhood and all of the people around the globe who are conducting jihad, whether it's civilization or violent or both, are adherents to Sharia law. Zuri Jasser, who I mentioned a couple of days ago, who is the one Muslim that I know of, and he's not the only one, he's just the one I know, and I know his name, who speaks so openly about his love of this country and his refusal to adhere to Sharia law, his embrace of the Constitution. And I told you a couple of days ago that people that adhere to Sharia do not embrace the Constitution. They can't. That's why it was so hypocritical for Khazir Khan to be clinging to that Constitution and waving it and telling, you know, taunting Donald Trump that, have you read our Constitution? You know, like, he doesn't, if he adheres to Sharia, trust me, he doesn't adhere to our Constitution. So that was totally disingenuous. So what do we know about this? He has previously written in a law journal about Islamic law. He wrote about the purity of the Quran and the Sunnah over all other texts and interpretations. He wrote Juristic Classification of Islamic Law in the Houston Journal of International Law in 1983. I'm skipping around in this article, but he talks about how reliable and how it needs to be superior. He talks about how the present form of the Quran is one and the same in every part of the Muslim world, and it has been so through all centuries. Muslims believe is due to the fact that the compilation and arrangement of chapters was completed under divine instruction by the Prophet himself. Now, it's fine for him to believe that. And that's what Sharia adherents believe. But it's another thing to pretend otherwise and to act as though you embrace some other form of law when you do not. Sharia is law. that applies to everything you do in life. And Sharia adherents make it superior to any law of any nation. That's why when Muslims move into other countries, they don't conform because they adhere to Sharia. By the way, Mr. Khan got his degree from Punjab University in Pakistan and Harvard University. So that's a few other things, but there's a lot more in the article, but you can read that. We'll put that on our Facebook page. Then I want to put this one on too. This is by Matthew Boyle of Breitbart. Here's the title: Clinton Cash, Khazir Khan's Deep Legal Financial Connections to Saudi Arabia, Hillary Clinton's Foundation, Tie Terror, Immigration, and Email Scandals Together. Now, this gets complicated. So we're going to put this article on our Facebook page, but I'm also going to give you a little bit of an overview as best I can. Khazir Khan, again, the Muslim Gold Star father, who has made such a stir and gave a compelling speech at the Democratic National Convention, has deep ties to the government of Saudi Arabia and to international Islamist investors through his own law firm. In addition to those ties to the wealthy Islamist nation, Khan also has ties to controversial immigration programs, which I just told you. I'm not going to finish that sentence. And has deep ties to the Clinton cash narrative through the Clinton Foundation. I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper. So stay with me here. We know also, I just have to have as a sidebar, Matt points out in his article that Jeb Bush, Lindsey Graham, Paul Ryan, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, John Kasich, and John McCain now too, you know, are weighing in to disparage Donald Trump for any criticism of Khan, because he's wonderful. Of course, Steve Hayes just told us, you know, he's a good Muslim. And I have to tell you, look, from the perspective, I don't know what a good Muslim doesn't mean that he's a patriot to this country or that he wishes us well. And that's the issue. And that's the danger here. Now, let's trace this Saudi connection. The Khans are financially and legally tied deeply to the industry of Muslim migration and to the government of Saudi Arabia and to the Clintons themselves. And Matt goes, I'm skipping around. He says, the government of Saudi Arabia has donated heavily to the Clinton Foundation. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has given between $10 and $25 million to the foundation, while Friends of Saudi Arabia has contributed between $1 and $5 million. Hang with me. It turns out that the law firm which he's connected with is deeply connected. Okay, I'm just going to have to make this easy and not read to you. This law foundation based in New York is the patent owner for the email server that Mrs. Clinton used in her home. And then it also turns out that Huma Abedin's parents are tied to the same organization that Khazir Khan was affiliated with. I'm making it real simple. It's much more complicated than that. But that's the bottom line of this article. The connections are unbelievable between the contributions to the Saudis and his connection to Saudi Arabia. And you have to know that this is all about Sharia and subjecting the West. In fact, I'll stop right now to make this point, because I meant to read this to you yesterday. I told you, and Claire and I talked about it a little bit, that the Islamic State, which is a Sharia adherent organization, sister in compliance to Sharia to all in Saudi Arabia. They have different brands of Islam, but where it comes to Sharia, there's no difference. And so they came out with this treatise in what was called Dabiq 15. It came out on Sunday. And it is long. We put it on our Facebook page yesterday. It's 150 pages long. And I have to tell you, one of my frustrations right now, just to be really frank with you, their publication lays out in great detail why they hate Christians. And they titled part of it, Break the Cross. In fact, in that they say, O people of the scriptures, let us reach an agreement that we will only worship Allah, making no partners for him, and that none of us will adopt lords besides him. If you turn away, then you must bear witness that we have submitted to our Lord. This is, according to the experts, the final warning to the Crusader West. And could I say, again, those of you listening to me who don't embrace Jesus, you've never made him Lord of your life, you don't even understand the scriptures, you may be able to quote a few verses, or maybe you totally reject it, maybe you're an atheist, I guarantee you, you are considered part of the Crusader West. It's not just evangelicals they're going to come for, or Catholics who go to church every week. The Crusader West is all of us by their definition. This is the last warning to us, to convert or be killed. Now, I want to make this clear before I go on to the next point. For those of us that know Jesus and have given our lives to him, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. We fear those that, you know, Jesus said to fear those that can destroy the soul, not those that can kill the body. Not that we're crazy about dying violent deaths. Who wants to do that? Or lose our families or see our children harmed. But we're not afraid because we know that this life is only temporary and there's a peace with that. But for those of you that don't know him, this really is a good warning. You need to think about God. You need to reflect on this while you still can. And don't think because you hate people like me, you hate Christians, you hate Catholics, you hate the Pope, whoever you hate God, Bill Maher, I can fill in the blank there, that you're going to be spared from this wrath. This is interesting because they have a whole chapter in this Dabiq 15, Why We Hate You and Why We Fight You. I want to read a little bit of it before we take the break, and then I'm going to open the phone lines because I'd be interested to know what your comments are. 888-589-8840 is the number, 888-589-8840. Let me read this part of Why We Hate You and Why We Fight You out of Dabiq 15. Shortly following the blessed attack on the Sodomites Crusader nightclub by the It's a white print on black. It's hard to read. Shortly following the blessed attacks on a Sodomite Crusader nightclub by the Mujahid Omar Mateen, American politicians were quick to jump into the spotlight and denounce the shooting, declaring it was a hate crime, an act of terrorism, and an act of senseless violence. A hate crime? Yes. Muslims undoubtedly hate liberalist Sodomites, as does anyone else with any shred of their fitra still intact. An act of terrorism? Most definitely. Muslims have been commanded to terrorize the disbelieving enemies of Allah. But an act of senseless violence? One would think that the average Westerner by now would have abandoned the tired claim that the actions of the Mujahideen, who have repeatedly stated their goals, intentions, and motivations, don't make sense. Unless you truly and naively believe that the crimes of the West against Islam and the Muslims, whether insulting the Prophet, burning the Quran, or waging war against the Caliphate, won't prompt brutal retaliation from the Mujahideen. You know full well that the likes of the attacks carried out by our Omar Mateen, LaRossi Abala, and many others before and after them in revenge for Islam and the Muslims make complete sense. The only thing senseless would be for there to be no violent, fierce retaliation in the first place. Many Westerners, however, are already aware that claiming the attacks of the Mujahideen to be senseless and questioning incessantly as to why we hate the West and why we fight them is nothing more than a political act and a propaganda tool. Politicians will say it regardless of how much it stands in opposition of facts and common sense, just to garner as many votes as they can for the next election cycle. The analysts and the journalists will say it in order to keep themselves from becoming a target for saying something that the masses deem to be politically incorrect. The apostate imams in the West will adhere to the same tired cliché in order to avoid a backlash from the disbelieving societies in which they've chosen to reside. The point is, people know that it's foolish, but they keep repeating it regardless because they're afraid of the consequences of deviating from the script. Well, that's honesty, and I agree with every word that they say. I have to say to those of you who might be listening who are Islamists, some of us get it big time, and we are not going to be silent about this. We understand what you're doing. We understand that as civilization jihad, you're trying to conquer us from within and having great success for the moment. And so we get it, and we're not fooled by that. And I don't understand why, yes, I guess I do, people are just afraid. But it's time not to be afraid. It's time to speak the truth. So our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Fair and balanced. For viewers of Fox News, you'll recognize that slogan. The company that gives us Fox News also gives us the Fox TV network, which is filled with crass, sexualized shows. Fox News supposedly espouses family values, while Fox TV trashes them on its vulgar sitcoms. So, when news broke that popular Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson was suddenly fired and was suing Fox News CEO Roger Ailes for sexual harassment, people began to recognize that the wizard behind the curtain was not who many thought he was. And when dozens of women came forward with charges of sexual harassment, Ailes was booted. In retrospect, it should come as no surprise. Any viewer of Fox News will quickly see a pattern of sexualized, cleavage-bearing women as reporters and hosts. Fox News is selling something, but it's not unadulterated truth. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations."
As Christians, we've all been called to make disciples of all nations, but not all of us can go to the ends of the earth. Hi, this is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. That's Exploring Missions, Sunday afternoon at 1 Central on AFR Talk.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to take a stand and pray and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
It was a time when men rebuilt the ruins and held spears, shields, and bows. With one hand, they laid bricks. With the other, they held a weapon. Jerusalem had been destroyed by enemies that moved in after Judah was taken into captivity. Nehemiah said, "You see the distress we're in? Let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." The people said, "Let us rise up and build," and set their hands to the good work. Our nation, after many years of decline, is in a state of moral destruction. The cry is going out, "Do you see the distress we're in? Rise up and build." To restore the moral foundations of America, an army of citizens must set their hands to a good work and be ready to fight.
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. AFA.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Washington Free Beacon reports today that over 500,000 girls and women in America have already had their genitals cut or removed, or risk having that happen to them. How on earth could such a barbaric practice be occurring, not just elsewhere, but here in the United States? The short answer is Sharia, the totalitarian Islamic supremacist doctrine that legitimates such abuse of women and requires jihad. It also calls for murdering homosexuals and repression or death for Jews and other minorities. Incredibly, this repressive Sharia doctrine is being insinuated into this country not just by Islamists. They are being aided and abetted by some on the political left, a reality made all the more bizarre and outrageous, given the fact that women, gays, and Jews are among the left's principal constituencies. Sharia kills and mutilates. It must not do so here. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Two parents, both touched by tragedy, gave impassioned speeches on big stages. Kaiser Khan, a Muslim father whose soldier son was killed in Iraq, denounced Donald Trump at the Democratic Convention.
"Have you even read the United States Constitution?"
Patricia Smith, whose son was killed in Benghazi, denounced Hillary Clinton at the Republican Convention.
"I blame Hillary Clinton personally for the death of my son."
But only one of them drew enormous media attention. Khan's speech made the front page of the New York Times, and he was invited on NBC's Meet the Press and CNN's State of the Union.
"That's, again, height of ignorance on a part of a candidate for the highest office of this nation.
The way he showed disrespect towards the Gold Star mother of this country, that says it all.
Your wife.
My wife.
Khan was referring to Trump's appearance on ABC's This Week.
If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say.
The Washington Post ran an op-ed by Ghazala Khan, who said she was too emotional to speak. Some analysts said Trump had escalated the controversy.
This wouldn't be a big story today if Trump hadn't stepped in it again gone after the family.
But what about Patricia Smith? True, she'd castigated Clinton before in numerous interviews, but her speech was widely ignored and in some cases attacked.
A GQ writer tweeted, "I would like to beat her to death." Later had to apologize for it.
It's appalling.
MSNBC said that she ruined the night and it's a gross accusation to bring up Benghazi.
Clinton took a softer approach on Fox News Sunday.
Chris, my heart goes out to both of them. I don't hold any ill feeling for someone who in that moment may not fully recall everything that was or wasn't said.
And today, Khan was back on the TV circuit.
Khan is ripping Trump for pushing a temporary ban on Muslim immigrants, which is unpopular with most of the media. Smith is personally blaming Clinton for Benghazi, which most of the media find unfair. And that seems to show in the coverage.
All right, that was Howard Kurtz on Fox. And Newsbusters is publishing, has sort of calculated that the networks gave 50 times more coverage to Khazir Khan and his wife and their statements than Patricia Smith. It's amazing how they break that down. That's the story. That's the situation. I want to hear what you have to say about it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And by the way, this is Sandy Rios, in case you just tuned in. All right, let's go to Patty in North Carolina. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for having me on your show. I have two quick points, one about Mr. Khan and one about Steve Hayes. When I went to seminary, I had to do a huge project on Islam, and I also listened to Fortress of Faith on American Family Radio, and I've learned a lot from them. But I'm just surprised that the programs on your network and other people are not pointing out that in Sharia law, it's perfectly all right to lie. It's called taqiyah. And that's what Mr. Khan did. He was talking at both sides of his mouth, which follows right in the path of Hillary Clinton, who lies perpetually. As to Steve Hayes, I too have been very surprised. I have always thought that he was such a sharp young man. But as I thought about it, I recall that he works for Bill Kristol with the Weekly Standard. Now, you may not like my saying this, but I've studied this for 2 years. Bill Kristol is one of the globalist elites who wants a one-world government. And we've already seen what he's done to try to stop Donald Trump. They want a one-world government, and Hillary and Bill are a part of this elite group. And it just bothers me so greatly that people are not told this. They are part of every secret society, including the Bilderbergs, as is Bill Kristol, and they all want a one-world government, which the Book of Revelation, of course, prophesies will happen in the end times.
Well, Patty, let's...
I just don't understand what's happened.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not prepared to discuss that today. Perhaps I will. But on the issue of taqiyah, of course, I say that all the time. You have heard me talk about that, haven't you?
Yes, I have. But
yeah.
You didn't mention it this morning. You just said he sort of talked out of both sides.
Right. Yes, and I don't mind you bringing it up at all. I just wanted to clarify that, because taqiyya is the practice. It's because the Muslims, in the attempt to subjugate, convert, fool, pull off civilization jihad, feel that lying to us is righteous, because they're trying to. They have a goal, and in the course of achieving their goal, lying is all right. And I think you're right to make the comparison with Hillary, because surely she believes that too. Lying is a means to an end. Patty, on a later date, I will discuss the second part of what you had to say, but not this morning, but I appreciate your comments this morning. Let's go to Lisa in Illinois. Good morning, Lisa. Where are you in Illinois?
Very southern Illinois, almost to a little town called Jonesboro.
Okay. Well, welcome. All right, so... What's your comment, Lisa?
Well, yes, Sam. When you were talking this morning about Khazar Khan, I had done some reading last night and was reading the same information that you were given this morning. And when you think about it, and you think about Hillary's entire career, she has been nothing but cunning and corrupt. And you would think, you know, if someone maybe had one thing in their background that was a little shady, you know, you might give them the benefit of the doubt. But her entire career has been like that. And so this gentleman speaking for her, now that you see, you know, there was a reason for him to be on that stage. And now we know what that was, you know. So how can the majority, or maybe not the majority, but the American people, you know, see somebody who has been corrupt over and over and over and over again? And, you know, people, well, that's not true. You know, how can all of those things not be true? So that is my issue with Hillary.
Oh, it's amazingly, I mean, it's amazing, Lisa. I'm just stunned, really, and astounded at her ability, in spite of the blatant lies that have been, as you said, a pattern. You know, she was fired from the Watergate Committee for stealing information. That was when she was right out of college. You know, her whole history has been, and of course, her mentor was Saul Alinsky, who worked with the mob in Chicago. So, I mean, she is corrupt, but, and yet her hair looks beautiful. And her pantsuits, you know, even as much as they get criticized, they look, you know, as nice as they can look on her. And, you know, she's gotten where she's gotten. Go figure. I mean, it is just, it's an amazing thing. I just shake my head. I think I never dreamed in a million years that she would get this close to winning the presidency. And she may very likely pull this off. It is just stunning. We are living in an age of deception, and she is the queen of it. Lisa, thanks. It's really nice to hear from you. Let's go to Michael, who's in, where are you, Michael? You're in Texas. Good morning, Michael.
Texas.
Good morning. Hello.
Thanks, Sandy, for all you do. And I just had a comment that I thought about yesterday, and you'll know exactly where I'm coming from. What if Donald Trump had been responsible for the Khan son's death? And then turned around and said, what difference does it make? You know, that's what Hillary did. She was responsible for four deaths and then said, what difference does it make?
Michael, I think you're spot on. I appreciate you making this point because I didn't get to it. I wouldn't have made it as well as you just did. The point is, there's a very big difference in the loss of these parents. And what you're saying is, and you're right, that Mr. Khan and his wife are grieving, rightfully grieving over their son, the death of their son, whatever their then impure motives about being on that stage. But it is true that Donald Trump had nothing to do with that. And it is not true that Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with the death of Patricia Smith's son. In fact, Patricia Smith was on CNN. I was going to play the clip, but I don't think we have time. And she actually said that Hillary Clinton caused the death of people. She blames Hillary personally because Hillary Clinton was responsible for the security in that embassy. She was begged for more security. She didn't give it. And when those guys on the roof needed help, somebody did not let them get any help at all. And we know through various sources that Hillary Clinton was just AWOL, and so was the president on that night. So you're right. Donald Trump was not responsible for the death of the Khan's son, and Hillary Clinton bears certainly tremendous amount of responsibility for the death of Sean Smith, and that is a very big distinction. Anything else, Michael, before I let you go?
Just a scripture that I say constantly because we all need to keep this in mind, and a lot of people may not understand it, but you will. Be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. That's what Jesus said. And I think a lot of times we're not being wise.
I'm with you, Michael. Thanks a lot. And thank you for that great reminder. Yeah, I do think that Christians, we are lambs among wolves, no question about it. Sheep among wolves, but we don't need to be stupid. I mean, wise as serpents. And that's what I love, you know, when you watch the, I'll just mention the Israeli forces and the way they fight. You know, it reminds me of the stories of David in the Old Testament. They're smart. They're smart. And that's what we got to be smart. Not just, oh, well, whatever. I was reading an article by a former editor of the Daily Mail or one of the big British papers. And he was talking about a Catholic priest in response to the near beheading of the priest in France just, what, last week, that a Catholic official, they're basically saying, well, you know, priests can be killed any day in a church. People can walk in there and kill them any day. So, like, oh, well, what can we do? And he was just saying, what do you mean, what can we do? I think maybe we should do something about this. And it is true that for whatever reason, the Christian response, broadly speaking, in the term of Christian, has become really, really lame. I don't get that either. But let me go to David in Louisiana. Good morning, David.
Good morning. There's a couple points I'd like to bring to light. If you recall, a number of years ago when Obamacare was first introduced, he would also include legal residents. Do you recall that?
Well, not specifically, but yeah. Okay. All right.
So this gave them the ability to vote. Is basically my question. Even though you're an illegal resident, and they consider you a legal resident because you were invited here during this influx of Obama, you know, allowing illegals into our country, did that make them legal residents, which gives them ability to vote?
Well, no.
Another point I'd like to make, because I know you're running out of time, when this guy is telling Donald Trump to read the Constitution, well, our lawmakers, as far as the high courts, need to read the Constitution and see who is eligible to vote. Illegals are not eligible to vote, and felons have lost their right to vote unless they go in front of a committee and plead their case to regain their citizenship.
David, you know, I'm sure you know that the Obama administration has been in the business of restoring voting rights to felons. They've been doing that left and right, all over the place. Terry McAuliffe here in Virginia just released, I think it's in court right now, but something like almost 300,000 felons to vote in the state of Virginia in the next election. So they're going after every segment that you talked about that aren't eligible. This will be a very corrupt election. You can just take that to the bank. You know, I started the show today talking about them overturning just the voter ID laws, real common sense voter ID laws. They've managed to overturn them in the lower courts. So just get ready, get ready. And I guess wherever you live, whatever you're, meaning all of you, wherever you live, whatever your sphere of influence, you know, seek what's right and fight for it. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Find some fight in yourself. You know, we are to be people of justice. I'm all for that. It's just that the social justice people pervert the term. It's what's right and what's wrong in every area. It hasn't got anything to do with exclusively with color, with police. It has to do with what's right and what's wrong. And that's what we have to do, is make sure that we, as much as we can, further the cause of what's right. David, thank you. Let's go to Gladys, also in Texas. Gladys, you have the last word, and you have to say it quickly. Good morning, Gladys. Uh-oh. All right, maybe not quickly enough. Sorry, Gladys. All right, we had a lot more calls, and I'm sorry I didn't get to them, but at least we got to talk a little bit more this week, and we'll try to do that again. I want to tell you a couple of things. I will be with Alan Combs on Fox this morning. I'm not sure exactly when it will air, but we'll let you know. It'll probably be on the Fox website. And then I'll be talking about Mr. Khan, and I'm sure that'll be interesting. I'm sure that you know it will be interesting. Also tomorrow night I'll be hosting for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. So just some extra program notes for your information. Listen, thank you so much for listening. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.